Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Leviticus 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord.'" Man, what a powerful opening set of verses. I am the Lord. Live by my statutes and what I have given you. Do not do what the people have done in the land you were before, the land you are going. And here you can see the concern that God had that the Israelites would take on pagan practices, sexual immorality, worship false gods. And the most important thing is, I am the Lord your God. I am your master. I am your God. And may that be true of us. May we really have God be our God. And as a result of seeing him as our Lord and someone that we live to please, live to honor, that we trust his guidance, that we want to live life by his instruction and by what he said, because that's going to be the best life lived. And that's the one that has reward on earth, but especially reward in heaven. And I just think God's guidance, his instruction, his word is so good. I am the Lord. May we live by that every day. May we recognize that God is our God, and now he has revealed himself through Jesus Christ and through the New Testament. So now we have that revelation, both of Jesus, his spirit, and the New Testament word, to apply these words to live by God's word, to live by the Bible, to honor him as Lord and to honor his word. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's been a blessing to me. I've been following him now for 28 years, and I can tell you, I don't know where I'd be without him. I made a lot of mistakes in my life pre-Christ, and could have been dead, you know, drinking, gambling, drugs, girls, whatever. And now I've been following Jesus for 28 years, and man, it's been a blessed life. I'm very thankful to have walked with him and have him guide my life. Hallelujah. And now he gets into sexual sin. And, you know, it's interesting because by nature now we know the things that we're going to read about here are wrong. And how did we know that? You know, I mean, it's been part of God's law and his Bible for, you know, generations and generations and generations. And somehow through the grapevine of this being passed on to us, we just know that this stuff is wrong, but it's really good to be reminded of it. None of you shall approach any blood relative. And that's basically what this is about, is that we don't have sexual relations with anybody else other than our wife. And we don't even pursue sexual relations with a blood relative. And that's what's going to go on here. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. And this all comes down to I am the Lord. Now abide in me and listen to my instruction. You should not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is, the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you'll not uncover. Now, you know, this could relate to sexual relations, but I would say even their nakedness. I mean, once kids are, you know, of puberty, obviously, you know, we bathe and change our children when they're young, but once they're on their own and they're in puberty, unless it's for some kind of medical reason, you know, there's no reason to be seeing each other naked anymore, much less sexual relations. And God is very concerned about sexual immorality, and he has a high standard of morality when it comes to sexual intimacy. We're going to not only is that in the Old Testament, but as we'll see briefly, it's in the New Testament as well. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter born to your father, she is your sister, you shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister, she is your father's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife, she is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law, she is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife, it is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter, nor shall you take the son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. And, you know, it's lewdness. And, you know, you think about all the problems with sexual abuse, you know, of children, and all of this is spelled out here. It's all wrong. It's lewdness. It's dishonors God, and people need to know, and I'm thankful that it's in the Word of God. You shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she is alive to uncover her nakedness. So here you begin to see how, although some of the early patriarchs seem to have more than one wife, it's beginning to be said not to do that. And we see that later in the New Testament too. And a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that's God's design. One man, one woman in marriage. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual period. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. You shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, that would be a false god, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Now, you know, that could get into swearing or using the Lord's name in vain, and it's so commonly done, and it really is, you know, sad how much in our culture people will use God or the name of Jesus in conversation or in profaning his name, saying it in a way that you're not praying or you're not talking about him in order to give him glory, but somehow just using him as a figure of speech or as a swear or something like that. And that profanes the name of your God. And that's not something we should do. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Well, there you have it. In the Old Testament, it clearly says homosexuality is an abomination. It is crystal clear. There's not a shadow of a doubt that homosexuality is wrong. It's an abomination. It's a sin. And you know, there, whoever has ever taught you anything otherwise is lying, deceitful, uninformed, and wrong, and blaspheming the name of our God by teaching what's false and leading children astray. It's a tragedy. It's sad, and it's completely wrong. Now, very, very briefly, I'm going to take you to Romans 1, because one thing that must be said is we're looking at the Old Testament law here. So we don't live under the law anymore. We live in the New Testament. And in order to understand what we need to live by in the Old Testament law, we need to refer to the New Testament and see what it has to say. So I want to read to you, I'm going to pick it up in verse 18 of Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So people are without excuse. God's word's been around forever, and he's revealed himself through creation. We are without excuse because God has made things clear. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds, of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Basically, throughout history, because people have rejected God, they've worshipped other things. They've worshipped false gods. Now, it says, because of that, because people have turned away from God, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among themselves. Now listen carefully. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, rather than the capital C Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Listen carefully. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. There is without a shadow of the doubt that homosexuality is a terrible sin, and it should not be promoted in our world. It should be called out for what it is. Don't misrepresent God in the world today. And listen to what it says next. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Now listen to this. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Are you giving hearty approval to those who practice such things, all those things, as well as homosexuality? If you are promoting, celebrating, if you're on the gay pride bandwagon, if you're hanging flags, if you're saying let people just be what they want to be, you are doing exactly what God does not want you to do. Not only do they do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. We should not in our world be giving hearty approval to people who practice sin, because it promotes it and it teaches people that something that God says is sin is not sin. And it leads people into greater sin because they get lost in what's true and what's false. And as believers in Jesus who realize that he is the Lord our God, we have to represent him for what he's taught and teach what he's taught and honor his word. It does not honor him when we forsake what he's taught us. In both Old and New Testaments, homosexuality is a sin, and sexual immorality in general is something that God very much has taught against, and we should be holy as he is holy. All right, moving on. Also, you shall not have intercourse with any animals. Isn't that interesting? Right on the very next verse after homosexuality, it says, you shall not have intercourse with any animals to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. And it's like he just called homosexuality an abomination. The very next verse, he's talking about sex with animals and how that's a perversion. It's like it can't be any more clear. Do not defile yourself by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. And you know what? If America suffers, in this world suffers, it's going to be for turning its back on God. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments. And you shall not do any of these abominations. neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations, and the land has become defiled. And when our government approves these things and celebrates things, we're defiling our country, and we're defiling our land, and we're deceiving children, and that just breaks my heart. So that the land will not spew you out, should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nations which has been before you. You know what? We're a very young nation. We're an experiment. And how are we going to use the freedom we have in America? To honor God or to forsake God and go our own way? I'll tell you what, there's going to be a spewing out one day. And may the church believe in him, follow him, and hallelujah, hopefully be spared from the destruction that's going to come on this land for people turning away from God. Whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off among their people. Thus you are to keep my charge, that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. Well, the only other thing I want to share with you this morning is just that in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to read to you a couple of things. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God." So we can be forgiven of all of this, but then after we come to Christ, we should, with his strength, not continue in these practices, but live to honor him. And I want to share with you, let me read this section, and we'll close with this today. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through the end. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them." Now, what he's kind of saying is, like, he's in the New Testament, food laws have changed. We don't have the same laws anymore as they had in the Old Testament. So then the question is what about this other stuff we read in Leviticus today? Does it still apply? Well, this is what it says. "Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power." Hallelujah. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" See, we become part of Christ. He's living inside of us. "Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh." We shouldn't be doing that with a prostitute, but only our wives. "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one with him, one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." And we saw that in the previous chapter, that we now have become temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, God now resides in those who believe, and because of that, we're supposed to honor him with our body and honor him in being sexually moral and not living a sexually immoral life. So I thank God for this instruction, and I thank God for how it's helped me to be a husband of one wife since 1995. So for 29 years, I've been with one woman and one woman only, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. And may that be true of more of us. Let's honor God in our marriages, honor God in being sexually moral, and honor God by following his word and his guidance. May God give strength to anyone caught up in any of these sins to turn away and turn toward the Lord. And hallelujah, if they turn to Jesus, any and all can be forgiven. Hallelujah. God bless you all.